Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals, he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me.
Good morning. Welcome to the First United Methodist Church service. It's absolutely the most beautiful day out there, and I do believe we all need to go out and enjoy it. Take a walk, sit in the sun, because we do know what's coming next. It's Michigan, we know. Yeah, that's true. We need our lift up in prayers for concerns and thanksgiving. I have Pastor and Jim and Dan Huber. And I sort of think there's a lot of people, whether directly affected or indirectly affected by this COVID. And I think we need to pray for our community and our state for the rise in the numbers and the number of people who are ill. Anything else I should know? The announcements this morning, basically all I have is the Grief Share class. It's held on Mondays at 6 in Wesley Hall. And I think it's probably a really good program for those that are dealing with grief. We'll go into birthdays and anniversaries. Birthdays, Sammy Galvin, Maddie Hale, Jack Brock, Marion Schiller, Karen Downing, Leonard Beulah, Bob Cambern, Frederick Darling, Annette Stover, and Joanna Sully. Anniversaries are Tom and Bobby Frohner, John and Cherie Patterson, Bev and Russ Schumacher, Tony and Devin Buting, and Joe and Judy Weiler. Interesting. Please quiet your hearts and minds and prepare your hearts for worship with the lighting of our candles.
Thank you.
Before we go to our praise songs, which are Hymn of Promise and Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, I've been asked to remind everybody about your shoeboxes for the Samaritan's Purse. They're due between November 16th and the 23rd, so try to get them done and into the church. Thank you.
In the bulb there is a flower, in the seed an apple tree, in cocoons a hidden promise, butterflies will soon be free. In the cold and snow of winter there's a spring that waits to be unrevealed until it's season, something God alone can see. There's a song in every silence, seeking word and melody. There's a dawn in every darkness, bringing hope to you and me. From the past will come the future, what it holds a mystery, unrevealed until it's season, something God alone can see.
If you can, would you please stand and join me in the call to worship? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the everlasting life. Amen. Now we'll have the hymn, Blessed Assurance. You can.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Well, we don't look like we have any children here in the sanctuary, but I'm hoping there's some out in the parking lot and, of course, out on the radio, in your homes and listening. I have a question for you, kids. What do we do when someone is ill and maybe even in the hospital? Well, I think the first thing we do is we pray. We pray for their recovery and just fast healing. But I had an idea that the second thing we need to do is, especially since Pastor Sue and Jim are both ill right now, it would be a really good idea if we sent cards, wrote letters, drew pictures, maybe took a page out of your coloring book and colored it, and you can mail it off to them or bring them into the church, and I'm sure Miss Mary would make sure that they got it. And what great fun it will be for them to be able to put that up on their refrigerator and be able to look at your drawings and your thoughts. And it would just lift their hearts and make them get better faster. So thanks a lot for that, kids. Would you join me now in a prayer as you fold your hands and bow your heads? Dear Jesus, we ask that you help Pastor and Jim get better really, really fast so they can get back here with us. Thank you. Amen. Today's Old Testament reading is Isaiah 43, 1 through 13. But now this is what the Lord says, He who created you, Jacob, He who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Sheba in your stead, since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you. I will give people in exchange for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for glory, whom I formed and made, lead those who have eyes but are blind, who have ears but are deaf. All the nations gather together and the peoples assemble. Which of these gods foretold this and proclaimed to us the former things? Let us bring in their witness to prove they are right, so that others may hear and say, it is true. You are my witnesses, declared the Lord, and my servant from servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me no God was formed, nor will there be one after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and apart from me there is no Savior. I have revealed and saved and proclaimed. I am not some foreign God among you. You are my witnesses, declared the Lord, that I am God. Yes, and from ancient days I am he. No one can deliver out of my hand what I act. Who can revise it? May God add blessings upon this reading of his word. Now I'll have the hymn Sanctuary.
Sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a prepare me.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving. I'll be a
This week, we are praying for the Main Street Cafe here in town of Sandusky. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day that you have made and the opportunity to worship you. We thank you for all the gifts and blessings that you have given to all of us, but especially for the greatest gift of all, your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for the atonement of our sin for everyone, past, present, and future, because of the love that you have for us. We ask your blessing for all on our prayer list, the ones that are ill, the ones that are grieving, and for ones that have any other sorrows, because you are our Lord and Savior and the great physician. Please put your caring arms around each and every one of them to let them know that you love them and that you are with them always and that there is nothing for them to fear. Lord, we ask you to bless our country and its leaders. Bless the world with peace. Lord, please bless our new president to help unite us, to help unite our country for a better way of life, and hopefully put an end to this pandemic soon. Bless our doctors and scientists to help them find immunization or a cure for this COVID-19. It is depressing for all of us going through this. We need your help, Lord. We ask your blessing on your church here in Sandusky to help us grow spiritually. We pray that you will help mature us and to help strengthen our love for you and for others. We pray for your guidance when we face trials, problems, and temptations of this fallen world, to help us make good choices by obeying you and your word and allow our faith in you to grow. Lord, we are all sinners, and we pray for your mercy and grace upon us as we pray in unison as you have taught us. Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our New Testament reading this morning is out of John chapter 16, verses 19 to 33. Jesus was speaking to his chosen disciples. Jesus realized they wanted to ask him, so he said, "Are you asking yourselves what I'm at? I said, in just a little while I will be gone, and you won't see me anymore. Then, just a little while after that, you will see me again. Truly, you will weep and mourn over what is going to happen to me, but the world will rejoice. You will grieve, but your grief will suddenly turn to wonderful joy when you see me again. It will be like a woman experiencing the pains of labor. When her child is born, her anguish gives place to joy because she has brought a new person into the world. You have sorrow now, but I will see you again. Then you will rejoice, and no one can rob you of that joy. At that time, you won't need to ask me for anything. The truth is, you can go directly to the Father and ask him, and he will grant your request because you use my name. You haven't done this before. Ask using my name, and you will receive and you will have abundant joy. I have spoken of these matters in parables, but the time will come when this will not be necessary. And I will tell you plainly all about the Father. Then you will ask in my name. I'm not saying I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you dearly because you love me and believe that I came from God. Yes, I came from the Father into the world, and I will leave the world and return to the Father. Then his disciples said, At last you are speaking plainly and not in parables. Now we understand that you know everything and don't need anyone to tell you anything. From this we believe that you came from God. Jesus asked, Do you really finally believe? But the time is coming, in fact, it is already here, when you will be scattered, each one going his own way, leaving me alone. Yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. The word of God for the peace of God. Thanks be to God. There's a lot in that reading, many things. My message today is touching on all of those, I believe. I believe our reading today has much meaning to everyone. Why? Because we all have had and will have trials and tribulations in our life, such as jobless, financial problems, physical, verbal, sexual abuse, divorce, alcoholism, drug addiction, illnesses, disabilities, and many others. Why? Why will we have these trials? Because we are all sinners in this evil world, and we all will experience pain, hardship, unfairness, tragedies, sorrow, grief, and even death. Romans 6, verse 23, the price of sin is death, unless we are still living when Christ returns. Tragedies, suffering, and grief often leaves us confused, angry, horrified, bitter, or even lost. They are further proof that Satan is at work in our lives and that evil is no stranger to us at all. It's common thinking for us humans that everything can be or must be explained. When you are faced with a problem or situation, who do you call upon? Yourself? Seems like that's what I normally do, and I think all of us do. Or do you call on a parent, a sibling, a friend, or your pastor? Or do we go to the internet or use YouTube? Or do we go to our phones and call Siri? I've called on all of these in the past. We all will have to face many of the situations that I have mentioned in this life at some time. Today, my message is a testimonial on grief, which is an actual event in my life experience. The reason? I've been asked by several people how me and my family got through the tragedy in our life. Our title, What Do You Do When There Is Nothing You Can Do? I know there is many different kinds of tragedies in our lives, but I believe death of a loved one affects us more than any other tragedy there is. When we lose a loved one, such as a parent, a sibling, a friend, it affects us emotionally. But it seems to be acceptable because there's an understanding in our human minds if they should die, if they die at a ripe old age, if they pass from an illness, if they pass from a car accident, a fall, a plane crash. I lost my oldest daughter at the age of 35 in 2005. As difficult as it was to accept her death, at least we had some understanding as to why she died from a physical medical condition that she or nobody else knew about until after the autopsy. But when you lose a child to violence and the murderer isn't convicted, what a crushing blow to loved ones. She was my granddaughter that my wife and I adopted, as well as her younger sister when they were both young. She was only 26 years old when she died. You talk about taking living, all we have is today. She was eating a bowl of cereal, watching TV at her boyfriend's house, not thinking anything else of it. She was then shot 2 times in the back of the head, execution style. Because she was a witness to a man shooting her boyfriend concerning an argument over drugs, because he was a drug seller. The boyfriend was shot and had surgery and survived. He walks out of the hospital and goes into hiding. The police can't find him. He was paid off not to show up in court. The Michigan State Police investigates. The U.S. Marshals make an arrest of the killer a few months later. The trial starts 11 months after her murder. After the first weekend in the trial, a juror comes in on Monday and gets excused out of fear because she was contacted by an associate of the man on trial. Trial lasted 3 weeks. I was there for every minute. I thought there was overwhelming evidence from the Michigan State Police and the experts. We even had an eyewitness, but he was a drug addict. Problem with that? He changed his stories 3 times while he was on the stand. Why? He was a cousin to the shooter. He was trying to make excuses for him. The witness on his third story finally, I believe, told the truth when he finally realized that the real shooter was trying to pin the murder on him now. The jury pretty much disregarded the witness's testimony of 3 stories. The jury deliberates 6 days. They came in with a verdict of not guilty. They did find the shooter guilty of 2 gun violations because he was a prior felon. I I will read the exact statement the jury gave in court. We believe he had the only gun. We believe he did the shooting, but we cannot convict him of murder. I don't know how that makes any sense, but it's a difficult thing to live with when you're looking for justice. One juror was insistent of not guilty from the get-go, and she finally convinced everyone else to go not guilty. I believe she was paid off just like my granddaughter's boyfriend, but there was no evidence of it. I know that she was called into the judge's chambers after the trial, but I don't know what went on there. Our legal system failed my granddaughter and our family. No justice. How do you live with that? That leaves me with a dead granddaughter or adopted daughter from a senseless murder. No justice. Many questions, a real shortage of answers, and a motherless great-grandson. My reactions, my thoughts, and my emotions ran rampant. As well as my faith really weakened. I had initial shock being told that she had been killed. And then again when I heard the not guilty. It's an intense emotional experience. And you go, what? Why? Yes, I was crying as everyone else. And severely deep, sad feelings. It's all I could think about. That's all that's on your mind. Nothing else mattered. Then the guilt comes in. Then you start second-guessing yourself. What could I have done or said something different to have avoided this tragedy? I sat in silence for many, many days. I didn't want to talk to anyone as I sulked and angry at God. I felt helpless and even hopeless at times. As I searched myself for something that I could do to change all this, I even prayed for a miracle, like when Jesus rose Lazarus from the dead. I was trying to change it. My thoughts, my feelings were anger, blaming God, unfairness, no justice, revenge, hatred. I was on a roller coaster of emotions. Why did God do this? Since he's in control, doubt entered my mind. And when we doubt, God seems so very far away in the darkness. It reminded me of when Jesus screamed on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? I wasn't on the cross, but that's what entered my mind at that time. Doubt comes when many things don't turn out the way that we want. I felt self-pity. I lost one daughter. Now it was two, and it was just crushing. Sinners just seem to do whatever they want and get away with it, scot-free. I prayed and prayed, but I didn't get any answers, surely not any that I wanted to hear. God had quit talking to me. I quit teaching adult Sunday school. After a few months had passed, I started taking a grief class. Truthfully, I didn't really want to go, but I did at Pastor Sue's urging. I didn't think I would get anything out of it, because nobody has to deal with life like me. Surprise, surprise. I guess I had my ears open when I heard something. Rather than ask God why, which is what I had been doing, I said to ask God what? I'm going, what? What do you mean? What can I learn from this experience, this circumstance? So rather than ask God to change your circumstances, ask God to use your circumstances and experience to change yourself. Because you can't change the past. What's past is done. This experience is just another test in life. Test, test, test. These tests will be my testimony on Judgment Day. But how? By making a choice. By making a choice to change. Romans 12, verse 2. Don't copy the behavior of the world, but let God change your way of thinking into a new person. In other words, you have to change the way you look at what happened in your life rather than sulk and say, why? There's a reason. What effect do our thoughts have on things that are impossible to change? It's so easy to get caught up in the thoughts of the past or what may or may not happen tomorrow, even though we can't do much, if anything, about these things. We still spend time worrying about them. Trusting in God is not automatic, especially in a tragedy like this. But it is something that we must make a decision to do if we ever want to find peace in our life. I have made the decision to lean on the everlasting arms of the Lord. I love you, Jesus. I trust you, God. And I ask each and every one of you out there to repeat those to yourself. I love you, Jesus. I trust you, God. And do that when you have any sorrow, any tragedy, any problem in your life. And I promise you, you'll get through it. Saying this will train my mind, your mind, and our hearts to obey Him, regardless of our human emotions. Many times, our human eyes only see what's right in front of us. But if we look at where we have come from, the events of our past, we can see God's hand guiding us through the everyday situations that required us to trust Him. I have to accept that God has chosen me to train. Each test that you have in your life is to train you. With this tragedy, I'm being trained from God. I've come to realize that God has not forgotten me, and you can forget the notion that God doesn't see my struggles or yours. It's quite the contrary. He is the potter, we are the clay. He is the shepherd, we are the sheep. He is the teacher, we are the students. We all are in training with tests in this life. And with this test, I had been neglecting God's word, the Bible, for months. And so when I did open it, I went to my old favorite verse, which is Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. And I am sure that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on that day when Christ Jesus returns. I realize now that God did not do this, but he did allow this tragedy. Why? I can't answer for God, because his thoughts and understanding are far above our human thoughts. But I think there's lessons. We live in an evil, fallen world, and we all have choices. These choices have consequences. My granddaughter made the choice of being there where she shouldn't have. All we have is today. There's no guarantee for tomorrow. How true that is with my granddaughter and all of us. Even with tragedy, God does not change. God is always good, loving, and with each and every one of us. Even if our circumstances cause us to lose sight of that, God is our eternal, everlasting refuge. God will draw you closer, even if you can't understand why this tragedy happened. John chapter 14, verse 1, Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me." Romans chapter 8, verse 17, "If we are to share God's glory, we must also share his suffering." Nobody suffered more than Jesus on the cross for our sins, not his. This is why he understands our sorrows. He is our Savior. When I made the decision to turn to the Lord and his word, my mind was flooded with learned scriptures that I had been neglecting. My faith was returning. In Matthew 6, 25 to 34, I learned to give God my anxieties and my worries. When you really believe and trust God, you will find comfort and peace. Wouldn't our lives be so much simpler if we asked God every day concerning our affairs and problems before they happened? I know what you're thinking. What about forgiveness and judgment? Aren't we supposed to forgive these or those who hurt us, just as Christ forgave us? When it comes to forgiveness, we are all beginners. Nobody has a secret recipe for forgiveness, especially for a big sin like murder, because as humans, we compare sins. There's a little lie is a small sin, and murder would be a big sin in our minds and eyes. But God looks at sin as sin. No little, no big. I don't think the Lord expects us as humans to be able to forgive big sins in our minds by relying on our own strength. We're just too weak. Remember this. I think as long as I'm or you are trying to forgive, the key word here is trying to forgive, you are forgiving. Ask God for the strength, because we're just too weak to do it. And in time, he will hopefully heal our wounds that we've endured and be able to forgive, because we've been forgiven by what Christ did on the cross. When it comes to forgiving others, I think of Luke 23, verse 34. Jesus said, "Father, forgive these people because they don't know what they're doing." If Jesus can ask forgiveness from the Father for those who crucified him, shouldn't not I be able to? Should not you be able to? It sure is difficult to be more like Jesus, isn't it? We are all children of God. Now I'm going to give you a real bitter pill to swallow. It's a very bitter pill to swallow, that God loves this murderer just as much as he loves you and me. Think about that one. All I can do is I have to pray for him that he will feel the guilt of his sin and repent and let God work his magic for him to be reborn. Forgiveness does not diminish justice. It just trusts it to God. Unlike us, God never gives up on a person. Never. Fix your enemies? That's God's job, not ours. Romans 12, 17 and 19. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do your part to live in peace with everyone as much as possible. Dear friends, never avenge yourself. Leave that to God, for it is written, "I will take vengeance. I will repay those who deserve it." Reading that is how me and my wife have been getting through this tragedy. Trusting and believing in God. My job here is to believe and trust God and to improve my relationship. That way, I know I will rejoice when I meet up with my granddaughter and other loved ones in heaven. And nobody can take that joy from me. Will the ushers please come forward? Thank you. Let us offer thanks. Lord, we pray that you will accept these gifts from us and given to you in thanksgiving for all that you have given to us. Please bless these gifts that they will be used that is pleasing in your sight and manner and your ministries to spread the good news and to glorify you, Lord. We ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Our closing hymn is Here I Am, Lord.
I, the Lord of sea and sky, I have heard my people cry, all who dwell in dark and sin, my hand will save. I who made the stars of night, I will make their darkness bright. Who will bear my light to them? Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will I, the Lord of wind and flame, I will tend the poor and lame. I will set a feast for them, my hand will save. Finest bread I will provide, till their hearts be satisfied. I will give my life to them. Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I
What do you do when we don't know what to do? I tell you, believe. Don't react like I did. Don't ask why. Ask yourself what. What can I do? And when you ask that question to God, He will talk to you. He will tell you what to do, not why. Be His witness to others. Trust God for the answers. That's His job. He will not fail. Lean on His everlasting arms for His blessed assurance. Amen. Thank you.